and welcome to a very chilly episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, and boy, is it getting cold and windy outside. It's good to be back because I took a couple of weeks off, as you well know. I hope you missed me as much as I missed you. But in that short amount of time that I took to rest a little bit, recharge my batteries, and get a whole bunch of stuff done that I needed to, and enjoy some quiet and serenity and peacefulness, not at the same time, but in that span of time that I was gone. From the airwaves, I went from t-shirt weather to long john weather. Holy crap, it's cold and windy out. For the last couple of days, I skipped right from hoodie weather to parka weather. Jeepers. As I taped tonight, last night was Halloween, and the kids who did venture out were treated to a night of Tim Burton-y kind of Jack Frost type of evening. I actually had to dig out my winter sweats and PJ bottoms, my favorite Snoopy ones to be exact, and a Fat Nancy's fishing hoodie. Don't be getting all politically correct on me, it's actually a bait store. And of course my extra large coffee mug. I've got at least about a half dozen of those. In preparation for our chat tonight, and I hope you're comfy, got your snack, got your beverage of choice, and you're ready to join me for a night of fun, music, truths, conspiracy theories, and all the craziness that's transpiring on our planet the last couple of weeks. Holy moly cannolis, what a time to be alive. Here we are again. America's in a government shutdown. At this point, it's like our country's favorite seasonal tradition. Forget the pumpkin spice, please. Forget the pumpkin spice. That is so overrated. I like my coffee to taste like coffee. I'll put some peppermint in there once in a while, or maybe some little bit of alcohol in there on a really cold night. But for me, pumpkin spice is a muffin or a cake or something like that. But whatever you like, enjoy. But the government's favorite seasonal tradition seems to be, sorry, your government is temporarily unavailable due to petty drama. And every time these shutdowns happen, both sides act so shocked, like, how could this possibly happen? Bro, you've shut this thing down more times than my laptop on low battery. The Republicans tried to pass funding for Medicaid and SNAP, you know, the stuff that actually keeps people alive, but Democrats were like, no, we refuse to support that version of helping poor people. And then 5 minutes later, they're on TV like, Republicans are taking food out of babies' mouths. You know how I feel about all of this? I try not to get wrapped up in the drama because I know, and my people know, it's there.
Savvy?
That all of this somewhat is a show, and we're still in the middle of a battle of good and evil. And we recognize that a lot of the stuff that we see is done to divide the masses because united we stand. And we would have more power if everybody came together than we do if we're separated and weak and fighting and at each other's throats all the time. But having said that, we know that a lot of what we see is AI generated in total hogwash. And so there again, I'm reminding you to use your discernment as you listen to tonight's show and draw your own conclusions. I've spoken to a bunch of people this week who are finally getting on board and understanding that, what we're being told and what we're seeing are two different things, aren't they? Both in the literal and the figurative sense. People are waking up and starting to realize that to some degree we're being lied to on both sides of the fence. So anyway, I'm sitting here like, hold up. You guys turned down the food stamps and the Medicaid, and now you're mad the food stamps and Medicaid are gone. That's like breaking your own phone and then crying to AppleCare like your product is fragile. Meanwhile, the people online are like, if I don't get my EBT reloaded, I'm raiding my neighbor's pantry. Girl, calm down. Karen from next door ain't got anything worth stealing except some expired almond milk and a candle that smells like tax refund dreams. Wild though, isn't it, that the politicians are safe. They'll keep getting paid through the shutdown. They could literally burn the Constitution on live TV and still have direct deposit hit at midnight. Meanwhile, we've got people ready to loot for Lunchables. This is the apocalypse, but with Wi-Fi and DoorDash. And the women who are filming these clips, making these threats, don't appear to be in good enough physical shape to compete in a kindergarten Hunger Games right now. My Aunt Andonia in her 80s would have hit them over the head with a salami, and that would have been the end of that if they tried to break into her house. My Grandma Millie would have checked them so hard with a broom they'd be out like a light quicker than if power forward Cam Neely had struck them. Heck, even my 92-year-old Uncle Tony could have taken them by hooking and landing them quicker than an end-of-the-run salmon. And we got Trump preparing his ballroom like he's gonna be the next Gatsby. In a red tie, of course. The media's having a meltdown, and the libs are gonna boycott the companies that funded him until, oh wait, they find out who they really are. We'll talk about that later. Also, another underground city conspiracy. Apparently, billionaires are secretly building luxury bunkers underground like massive subterranean resorts, Wi-Fi filtered air, artisanal apocalypse snacks. They say it's for the next crisis, and I'm like, no, that's just them escaping us. When people finally realize they're the reason everything's on fire. See what I did there? Take that one literally or figuratively, however you may choose. They want to be down there sipping up imported oxygen while everybody else is up top fighting over a can of SpaghettiOs. We're also going to talk about Garth Brooks tonight. He may have given friends in low places a new meaning. The whole vibe right now feels like a collective nervous breakdown wrapped in a meme. Everybody's yelling, nobody's listening, and half of us are just sitting back like, cool, the simulation's glitching again. Between the millionaires dig-dugging and the neighbors wanting to rob each other over a frozen lasagna, by the way, it better be Stouffer's, because if you come to a homemade place, you might get a little more than what you bargained for. Those old ladies got wooden spoons that have knocked a few teeth out in their lifetimes. They'll be picking up those gold grills and putting them in a jar and saving them for a rainy day. Idiocracy, it seems, folks, isn't a movie anymore. It's a documentary. What is going on, people? Is the new government stimulus check going to be issued in Monopoly money? Is Elon Musk going to live stream for one of the underground bunkers with a hologram of George Washington? With his new kid who's named something like an alternative of C-3PO? At this point, with all the drama, nothing would surprise me. But until then, keep your pantry stocked, your Wi-Fi paid, and your sense of humor alive, because if the world's going to burn, we might as well roast Carmen peppers instead of marshmallows over the flames. Because at least they're substance with some Italian bread and oil and vinegar, if that's all we have left to eat. I've been reminding you all to brush up on your outdoorsman skills and your gardening skills and your food preservation skills. Hopefully you've listened. Don't be like this guy.
He can't even bait a hook. He can't even skin a bug.
Let's jump right into the clippies. The first one's called Desensitizing the Masses by Conspiracy Collective.
So desensitizing the masses, as well as normalizing certain wicked things, has definitely been a success over the past few years. But our discernment and the ability to recognize when we're being manipulated needs some work. A lot of work. Let me give you an example. So we all know about this shutdown, right? And how on November 1st, SNAP benefits as well as EBT could be disappearing for a lot of people. I'm going to tell you right now, if you had any kind of emotional response to this, no matter what side of it you're on, then you did exactly what they wanted you to do. First of all, if this whole thing doesn't affect you and you're still feeling some type of way about it, why? Are there people that take advantage of this kind of stuff? Absolutely. Just like with anything else. And the only way to truly get that to stop is to end a program like this. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but that isn't exactly doable in the world we live in. But I'm sure arguing back and forth about who's right and who's wrong is doing a whole lot of good. Now, if this whole thing does affect you and you're actually receiving benefits, we've all heard the threats and what people are going to do if this actually does go through. I mean, they've been blasting it all over social media. I mean, there's even been this huge rumor about Walmart closing its doors on November 1st so nobody ransacks the store. Well, what do you think's really gonna happen if all that goes down? Well, let me give you a hint. The people that are truly behind all this aren't interested in who's arguing with who and who's right and who's wrong. What they're interested in is controlling both sides. And how are they gonna do that? Well, their plan is already in place. You see, this past week, a student was held at the end of officers' weapons and handcuffed because of a mistake that the school's AI detection system made. Yep, this student had an empty bag of Doritos in his pocket. The AI picked it up and mistaked it for a weapon and instantly alerted the local authorities.
Right, and during the footage from Monday's incident here at Kenwood High School, you'll see the officers approaching the student, searching him, and then they're pretty stunned themselves when they realize that what AI had flagged as a gun was actually just a bag of Doritos.
Yes, you. Come here.
So needless to say, if your benefits are ending and you plan on taking things from a store, they can obviously see you coming, and they're ready for you. Now, if you're not receiving benefits and this shutdown really doesn't affect you, but you're feeding the flames for this conflict, after it's all said and done, how do you feel about every retail store you go into being able to scan you so much they can tell every item in your pocket and them taking any action they feel necessary because of it? How's that for privacy? Oh, and just in case you think I'm reaching, you might be right. It's not like Walmart or these other retailers have been installing these AI-powered weapon detection systems since 2022. Y'all stay safe.
Politics and Money shares a clip where the Senate rejects the measure to kick illegal aliens off Medicaid, 56 to 44.
On this vote, the yeas are 56, the nays are 44. Three-fifths of the senators duly chosen and sworn not having voted in the affirmative, the motion is not agreed to. On this vote, the yeas are 56, the nays are 44. Three-fifths of the senators duly chosen and sworn not having voted in the affirmative, the motion is not agreed to.
Here's one from Vet's Inner Voice.
The welfare war might kick off this weekend. Now that's fear-mongering, not what I was saying yesterday. Let's talk about this. Are we about to engage in a war over this? I doubt it. But the thing is, EBT is about to go away on the 1st. Lots of people online have been saying that they're going to start raiding stores, homes, whatever, to get the food they need for their families because they think it's the American taxpayers' responsibility to feed them. There's a ton of people on SNAP and EBT that have jobs, multiple jobs, and are not getting paid enough because these corpo folks know that EBT is going to pick up the slack. Pardon my language. 44 million Americans on EBT. They're not all losers. Now, that's a big number. 44 million people that are about to become very, very desperate and hungry over the course of the next month or two if this drags on. Now, yes, we will probably see a lot of reactionary stuff going on this weekend and in the coming week or two, but the real problem might come in the next month, 2 months, when people start getting actually hungry, actually desperate, their kids start getting, you know, starved. I've got a pretty high level of faith that the government is going to make something happen at the very last minute or right as things get desperate and then take the credit and say, oh, we're for the people, and then expect the people will be, you know, happy. Quite frankly, that should infuriate you. The left wants this EBT thing to happen because it gives them something to demonize the right for, and the right wants this to happen because it gives them somebody to rescue, and it also gives them somebody to point out and say, hey, look at all these leeches and psychopaths destroying cities everywhere. Both sides gain by this happening. That's because they're on the same side. They are not for us. It is us, the people, against corporations, government, everybody. These people are monsters, willing to let others suffer so that they can gain. I understand the urge to demonize people that you think are taking money out of your pocket and leeching off of welfare, but we need to be mad at the corporations, not them. All I'm saying is pay attention and don't misplace your anger. I love you. Be blessed.
Next, from Larry Gregor, a lady shares her perspective of why she's done with empathy in our country.
So what happened to the empathy and the sympathy in this country for the people, the hungry people, those who are hungry? Well, the empathy and sympathy died. It died. It died when we were told by the same people that we were grandma killers because we refused to wear a mask or refused to stay locked in our homes. It died when some of these same people came out and celebrated the death of Charlie Kirk loudly, blatantly. It died when over the summer it became all the rage on TikTok to take your thousands of dollars in food stamps while everybody else in the middle class and lower middle class was struggling and show them all the junk and the energy drinks and the sodas that you could buy. Okay, and then rub it in their faces and then flip them all off and tell them you didn't care that it's the taxpayers' money. You have the right to buy what you want. Give me that Kit Kat. It died. The empathy died. It died when the same people doxed us for coming out against the vaccines. Our empathy died. It died when you threatened the lives of ourselves and our families and our children simply because of who we voted for. Our empathy died. It died when you went on to call us racist because we didn't want a group of people burning down one of our cities. It died when you called us racist because we didn't want you tearing down our historical statues to put up ones of your own. Like, it died. We have no empathy for you. We have no sympathy for you. It died when you insisted on letting men who dress as women come into women's spaces and make them feel unsafe. It died. You can't spend years and years and years demeaning people and calling them off of names and sending them death threats and then expect those same people to turn around and stand in solidarity with you because now you're not getting your food stamps, you're not getting your government handouts, you're not getting your welfare, and you want us to go to war with you. This is a lesson beef around and find out. This is a lesson in what goes around comes around. Empathy for people online is dead. The emotional propaganda killed it. I just don't feel bad for any of you. I don't feel bad for your children. It's wild. Is I am almost empathetic to a fault. To a fault, to my own detriment a lot of times. But with this, absolutely not. Absolutely not. When you give the government the power to feed you, you give them the power to starve you.
They tried to warn you on various different occasions that this isn't gonna work, and we tried to tell you, and we tried to warn you, and you called us all kinds of names. Well, now you can the bed that you made. Empathy for you is dead.
Interesting choice of words when she stated the emotional propaganda. We know that fuels the fire. The next two clips are from the Howie Carr Radio Network, and I love to giggle too.
Making my way downtown to the White House. I'm going to White House. Quick, quick.
Y'all ain't going to have food stamps. How y'all going to eat? Baby, how you think they going to eat? Off you. Yeah, off you.
I'm going to be stealing like it ain't no tomorrow.
I'm still going to get my EBT money. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm going to get mine.
I was taking up the stove and taking everything.
You remember how many homes about to get broken into?
Like, either you're going to give us food or we're going to take the
You know how many people about to get knocked over the head coming out their job or leaving the ATM or the bank?
And I only pay $50 in rent.
Does that make you angry?
Who ain't getting that food stamps in November?
I'm going to the White House. Quick, quick. Let me not get my food stamps.
Does that make you shiver in your boots? Does that make you want to punch me in my face?
I'm going back to steal it. I don't care. If you leave your car unlocked in the middle of the night, lock it.
And you know that the food stamps is not working in November, and you see people stealing and you snitch, you deserve to die. Good day, guys.
I'm going to the White House to meet Amy Trump.
Be blessed, though.
It's official, the stores is on top of it. They said that they will be closing. If the SNAP benefits are not released on November the 1st, you won't be able to go inside of some of the stores. The store that my son works at, you cannot go inside. It's only online ordering or delivery. Other than that, you're not getting an opportunity for the general public to come in there and try to steal from these stores. They covering themselves. Whatever you're going to do, get your groceries and go in the house and don't go back out to these stores until this stuff blows over.
In the next clip, Bear the Voice 3 comes on like a freight train.
So you're going to steal my basket full of groceries after I leave the store? Yeah, I don't think so there, Ann. I've seen a lot of videos talking about how people's EBT is getting cut off, and so they're going to be stealing groceries straight out of the store. But I've also seen a lot of videos talking about how people are going to grab baskets whenever they come out of the store. That way they're not stealing from the store, they're stealing from an individual. Well, you grab my shopping cart full of groceries that I bought and paid for with my funny. And you're going to hear two sounds. There are going to be three sounds. Maybe. There's certainly going to be two sounds. The first sound you're going to hear me saying, now, Han, that's a bad idea there. You better walk to gone. If you don't walk to gone, that would be the next sound you can hear. And the third sound, son, I'll hear it. You won't. No, sir. I can hear it, and you can won't. Now, people are going to come back on this video and say, oh, you'd end somebody over a basket full of groceries? Yeah, I would. You damn right. Because if that person is deciding to steal from me, they've already decided that that's what their life is worth. Well, they made that decision. They made that choice. You don't steal from me. Around and find out.
In the next clip, three ladies happily share a solution by Larry Gregoire.
No more EBT or food stamps.
And we cooking up some beans and rice.
Y'all come get a plate.
And one day while they simmering, if you ain't got no money,
you can wash the dishes to make up the pay.
Ooh, Lord.
We got work to do.
Look here, steaming hot.
I love their attitude their generosity and their work ethic. Those are principles we need more of in this country, and that's the way it used to be. So how are you going to handle yourself if this gets real? How much of all this is hype and AI and stirring of the pot? No pun intended. I've been telling you for years now to get prepared, but also to stay positive and see the results that you want to have happen. I don't believe that any one of my listeners would allow someone to come into their home and steal their personal property and put their family's lives at risk. But how did we get here in the first place? The next clip from Black Card Declined tells how the Democrats have denied a bill 13 times that would allow Americans to keep SNAP and WIC.
And we tried to do that 13 times. And you voted no 13 times. 13 times people over here voted to fund SNAP. 13 times they voted to fund WIC. This isn't a political game. These are real people's lives that we're talking about. But at some point, the government runs out of money. What Democrats are doing here, they're making plans to keep the shutdown going. They're going to propose a bill to fund food stamps during their shutdown. This bill is a cynical attempt to provide political cover for Democrats to allow them to carry on their government shutdown for the long term. We did 13 short-term clean CRs. When they have the majority, they've now voted 13 times against a clean CR.
This is a strategy. They're making sure it looks like Republicans are the reason. They know this pain hits everyone, Republican, Democrat, Independent, and they will use it to look like they saved you. Why? Because their voter base is getting shipped out, and they know they don't have the American vote for this next election. See, Democrats are banking on the fact that you won't watch congressional hearings, because the truth is, they could fix this right now, but they are using your dependency as a pawn. And it's sad because they're literally counting on the fact that you aren't paying attention.
Miss Mischief 09 shares a clip that has an interesting theory. What do you think about this one?
This is the video I was talking about. This is a girl named Desiree, and I want to know, do you think she uncovered the real reason for this shutdown? Like, it's pretty shocking what she said and what her alleged discoveries are. Now, given all of this is for entertainment purposes, only TikTok, this is for educational purposes, it's just hypotheticals, and we don't know anything for sure, but what she says here is pretty diabolical, like suggesting that this is the insurance company's last attempt at the money bag grab. You know what I mean? And again, this is just for entertainment purposes. I want you to watch this with an open mind and just know that this is all hypothetical. It's not real. So don't get your panties in a wad. But let me know what you think about this in the comments.
All right, everyone. So I'm heading to Capitol Hill. Just got off the metro. Okay. So they are voting on the Shutdown Fairness Act today. But I figured something out. Okay, I think I understand why this shutdown is happening. Because I've been scratching my head, like, why would the Democrats be shutting down the government, depriving federal workers in the military of basically pay and food, and then depriving the military of their health care through TRICARE? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Why would you be so hell-bent on this? And I don't think it has anything to do with the talking points that, oh, it's the far-left radicals. No, it has nothing to do with that. That they're against Trump. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the insurance companies. So I found out these people, even though the government shut down, because of the ACA, their payments every month are coming directly from the Treasury to their bank accounts.
That is true.
So the insurance companies, United Healthcare, Aetna, Molina, Kaiser, they are getting paid right now, mandatory pay, every single month, while the federal workers and the military get nothing. And so now it's finally making sense. This has nothing to do with healthcare. It has to do with dark money from the billion-dollar insurance companies. Because keep in mind, if they lose the ACA credits for next year,
they're not going to get any of that money. They won't get any of that money. So even though the tax credits are tax credits, what actually happens is these tax credits get paid on behalf of you, the insured, and they go directly to the insurance companies. So that's why the Democrats are fighting so hard on this. It has nothing to do with people's premiums. It has to do with the insurance companies not getting billions and billions and billions of dollars in January and next year. So what finally occurred to me this morning, and that's what took me so long, I had to do research to figure out how those tax credits were paid. But this shutdown, it's about them. It's about the billion-dollar insurance companies. And so everyone, in at least the talking points of the Democrats, are like, oh, the premiums are going to go up. Why don't you hold the insurance companies accountable? These are not market rates. They're setting the premiums. They're the ones that are deciding to keep human beings without health care. That's nothing to do with what the government does. If anything, the government's making worse. The problem is the insurance companies. They're setting the premiums, they're setting the rates, and then their providers are saying that they own the hospitals, and the providers are setting these obscene rates for procedures, and so then they're making money off of the hospitals. This entire shutdown has nothing to do with healthcare and everything to do with the billion-dollar corporations, United Healthcare, Aetna, Kaiser, Molina. They are the ones that are keeping the government shut down right now. And this is how dangerous it is to have dark money from corporations like them involved with our politicians. And this is why the entire government is shut down right now. And I finally figured it out because I just couldn't get it. Why would the Democrats do this unless the insurance companies are threatening to not fund their re-election next year?
They're all up for re-election.
This is all about health insurance companies and not about people trying to access health care. Because if you were trying to get people to access health care and you wanted to make it cheaper, then you force the insurance companies to quit raising their premiums and you put a cap on what those premiums are every year.
I mean, again, this is all for entertainment purposes only. You know, we're just speculating here. It's all hypotheticals. We don't know anything for certain, but it is something. If it were true, you know, if it held any weight, if any water, that would make sense. You know, so I'm not saying anything either way. I'm gonna let you draw your own conclusions. But it wouldn't be too much of a stretch, you know? So, yeah, with that and the SNAP benefits and everybody on those, like, they can really cause, like, this is a multi-fold plan because they don't have anything else. They literally have record low approval ratings, even amongst their own. They don't have anybody that could possibly win in 26. Literally nobody. And they're all up for re-election in the House, and 33%, 35% in the Senate. And that's quite a turnover in our government, you know what I mean? And so with all these people needing re-election, what if that's true? That could be huge. I read in the comments of that video. Sometimes I'm just real curious, and I will go to the comments. And someone that worked for Molina confirmed, you know, and who knows if they really did or not. People can write weird things because people are weird, and especially people in comments. And they said, I work for Molina. This is true that we get the money from the Treasury. And I've heard that too. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But I just heard that, and I was like, I'd already been kind of thinking something similar. And I was just like, wow, what if that's true? You know, this is all speculation, but what if it was true? I don't know. Like, I'm shocked. I'm completely stunned.
Here's another from Grumpy MAGA.
Okay. Now, we always know that Trump plays chess while the Democrats play checkers. Now, if the shutdown lasts over 41 days, Trump can make permanent, all the cuts he wanted to make with DOGE. And the Democrats can't do anything about it. Yeah.
If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on.
It's crazy liberals time, and the first clip is from Minds of the Mentor. A full-grown man with a beard and a dress tries to force his way into a lady's room while a mom is blocking the entrance to keep her young daughter safe. We've had music so far from my good buddy Pat Carr, Nessa Barnett, Justin Moore, and Gnarls Barkley. I don't know who played the background music in this clip because they didn't share it. It might be Marilyn Manson's cover of Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics. The next two clippies are from Blaze Growth and Libs Meme Center.
Can I help you?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm charging my car.
I see that, but this is my house and it's my charger that you use.
I know. It'll be like 20 minutes.
Yeah, but that's really not... You can't just pull up to someone's driveway and use their charger. You didn't even ask for permission. I mean, maybe if you knocked on my door and asked me, I would have potentially let you. But you just pulled in my driveway. My wife's about to be home any minute now. You're in her spot.
Okay, well, I'm pregnant. My car's about to die. So I had no choice, and I saw that there was going to be a charger. Are you recording me right now? Is that why your phone's up like that?
I am recording you because you're on my property, and I'm sorry that your car is about to die, but you know there are superchargers that you're supposed to... Tesla will tell you when your car is about to die. I mean,
okay, so you have to stop recording me and stop recording my plates. My husband is an attorney, so you're not going to put this video anywhere, so I'm not sure what you're doing with your phone.
How, I mean, do you normally do this? Do you normally pull up to people's houses and use their chargers?
Normally my car isn't dying. I had to go to the doctor. My car was dying on the way home. I'll be done in like 20 minutes. It's really not that big of a deal.
Maybe that black woman would have spoke to you if you paid for her groceries. Instead of a hi, if you said a, hey, can I cover your groceries? I think you're a really beautiful woman and I'd like to make your day better. We're living in late stage capitalism. Things are expensive and black women are tired of being tired. We're tired of having to put on a smile on our faces and take care of everyone while no one takes care of us. So maybe, just maybe, if you would have just offered her something, if you would have said, let me cover half, or if you would have just left her alone, respected boundaries, but offered something. Maybe.
And next, Nick Shirley shares one about Mamdani voters. Whatever.
Who are you voting for mayor?
I'm voting Ma'am Dani.
And why?
Because he's the most obvious choice.
What makes him an obvious choice for you?
It's just like, I'm trying to think. This reminds me of a certain comedy sketch where the comedian was like, we could either vote in one guy and he's gonna give everybody free houses, free rent, and he's gonna give everybody a Lamborghini, or we could vote in somebody who's gonna burn down the city. That's why I'm voting Ma'am Dani, because I'm voting for the guy who give me the Lamborghini.
Yeah, so you think Ma'am Dani's like just gonna give you guys everything?
Not everything. I'm saying it's the most obvious choice.
What do you think is going to happen with government-run grocery stores and free buses? Do you think that sounds like a good idea?
That does sound like a good idea.
And freezing the rent?
That does sound like a good idea.
What if they have to freeze the rent to the point where eventually then the landlord's not able to come in and fix the washer and make profit on his own lease?
That's their problem.
In the next hysterically funny video, Josh Sider Official schools a cis American liberal. What even is that?
I'm trans indigenous.
Trans indigenous.
Are you cis American? I'm trans indigenous for ICE.
We love ICE.
Deport them all. You're all trespassers on our land.
Well,
trans indigenous people are indigenous people, and you're all trespassers on our land, and we want Bovino to deport all of you guys. We love ICE. Trans natives love ICE. We love you, ICE.
What nation are
we
you?
We love
from?
ICE. The trans nation. Trans nation is just as valid as cis nations. You're not trans native phobic, are you?
No, but I'm
okay,
not familiar
I'm just
with
checking.
The term. I'm hoping you could.
You're a cis American. I'm trans indigenous. You really need to check your privilege because you're talking to a beautiful trans indigenous person of color right now.
I believe that I am. And I'm hoping to learn more about your person.
I'll educate you. Because you're cis pigmented and I'm trans pigmented. And I'm trying to educate you.
So
my name's Walking Tomahawk.
Walking Tomahawk, okay. I'm Chad.
Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you.
Walking Tomahawk and Chad here out supporting ICE because we love ICE. They need to deport all the cis illegals that came here illegally.
ICE.
We love ICE.
No,
I speak
over
for all
land.
Native American people when I say
this
we love ICE.
Land.
We
this
love
is
ICE.
Native land.
And trans indigenous people are indigenous people, and this is my land. And you need to check your privilege. Because you're talking to a beautiful, trans-pigmented, trans-indigenous man of color.
What do you mean by trans-pigmented?
I was assigned white at birth by my parents' bigoted doctor, but I identify as Native American.
Okay. Fantastic.
And trans-natives are natives, and we're just as valid as cis-natives. Sound familiar?
Please.
How many cups have you had this morning?
None.
Plus?
Five, but yours is better.
You have a problem.
Yes, I do.
Junkie.
Angel, you've got wings, baby.
Well, I'm getting my cup of coffee from Lou. This next set of clips features music by Sweet, Caroline Leavitt, and CNN talking about Obama's renovations.
We are proud to announce that the construction of the new White House ballroom will begin. For 150 years, presidents, administrations, and White House staff have longed for a large event space on the White House complex that can hold substantially more guests than currently allowed. President Trump has expressed his commitment to solving this problem on behalf of future administrations and the American people. The White House is one of the most beautiful and historic buildings in the world. Yet the White House is currently unable to host major functions, honoring world leaders in other countries, without having to install a large and unsightly tent approximately 100 yards away from the main building's entrance. The White House State Ballroom will be a much-needed and exquisite addition of approximately 90,000 total square feet of innately designed and carefully crafted space with a seated capacity of 650 people.
We're good at building. I'm good at building things, and we'll get it built quickly and on time. It'll be beautiful, top of the line. We've retained the best architects and engineers, everything else. It'll be built over on the east side. And it will be beautiful. It'll be views of the Washington Monument. It won't interfere with the current building. It won't be. It'll be near it, but not touching it. And pays total respect to the existing building, which I'm the biggest fan of. It's my favorite. It's my favorite place. I love it.
Sounds like you're building another wing to the White House, but we appreciate you keeping your focus.
You can't even imagine, TJ. It's going to happen for the next 2 years. All of the banging, the jackhammering, the dust, the confusion, the noise of all places to do construction is happening right here, the front lawn of the White House. It's a four-year renovation project. Estimated cost, $376 million.
I don't know who shared that last clip because it didn't give credit, but the next two are from Mammocracy and CRWS Center.
So now it kind of makes sense. The whole East Wing being turned down. The ballroom construction, you know, turns out it's not just a ballroom. They're also upgrading the presidential bunker underneath it. And that suddenly puts a lot of things into perspective, doesn't it now? Funny timing, isn't it? At the same very moment, we are cozying up to Moscow, of all places. Ships are being blown out of the water, and international tensions feel, you know, like one headline away from combustion. Maybe it's all a coincidence. Maybe the ballroom is really just for dancing or whatever. But when you start seeing ground turn up at the White House and steel going in below it, it starts to look less like renovation and more like preparation. Well, you can call it modernization or whatever you like, but I call it reading the room. What do you say?
You know, after 200 years of presidents turning the White House into their own personal Hobby Lobby of history, this is another hill they want to die on. Now everybody's losing their damn minds over a ballroom. Really? Hillary's tweeting like Trump's bulldozing Mount Vernon, saying it's not his house, it's your house. Yeah, no, Hillary. Every president before him redecorated our house. Where was all this preserve the people's house energy when other presidents were turning it into their own personal playground? Teddy Roosevelt literally built the entire West Wing. Taft said make it curvy and turn the office into an oval. FDR said, you know what would be great in this war-ridden economy? A pool. Truman gutted the entire thing, took it down to the studs. Nixon, a bowling alley. Obama, a basketball court. Trump said, let's build a ballroom. Privately funded, no tax dollars, class it up a bit. And people act like he's melting down the Liberty Bell to make a chandelier. $200 million privately funded, you know what that means, right? Well, that means meaning zero of your money. And people are losing it like he took away their EBT card. Hillary says he's destroying it. Lady, it's literally a ballroom, King Wrecking Ball. Knock it off. Let's dance a bit. If Obama built the ballroom, there'd be a 12-hour docuseries called Dancing Through Democracy. But because this guy's doing it, suddenly it's the collapse of the Republic. Give me a break. Every president leaves a mark. Roosevelt left the wing, Truman left beams, Nixon left tapes, Clinton left DNA. Trump's leaving the ballroom. At least when future presidents host world leaders, they can do it somewhere classy. Not in a circus tent on the lawn. The man's building a room for America to party in. At no cost to you, not to me, not to anyone. That's not destroying the house, it's just finally giving it some rhythm. At the end of the day, ask yourself this. How does this affect your life? Your bills are still due in a few days. Cry harder. And if this construction burns you, good. Go grab some marshmallows. The ballroom's not even done yet, and these people are already dancing. Just not the kind of dance they wanted.
The next one from Curly Angel 00 picks on liberals who were going to boycott the companies that funded Trump's ballroom until they found out who they were.
I just got the, you know, the thing. The list. Meta. Oh my God. I'm gonna have to get rid of TikTok and Facebook. Apple. soft. I'm gonna have to quit my job, T-Mobile. Guys.
It's conspiracy theory time with Danny Los Angeles and Magnificent Frescoes, Goat Worldwide, and Conscious Health Official.
Over 2,000 senior level staff members are quitting NASA. My family works there. Do you want to know what they know that you don't know? Wouldn't be hard to figure out. Just watch all the videos and the podcasts on my page.
Former Bush administration official has come forward with a claim that's difficult to ignore. According to the New York Post, Catherine Austin Fitz says the U.S. government has secretly constructed a $21 trillion underground city. She alleges that this was funded through nearly two decades of unaccounted for federal spending. Money that vanished from the ledgers of the Department of Defense and the Department of Housing and Urban Development between 1998 and 2015. Fitz describes a network of over 170 underground and underwater facilities. Not shelters, cities. Built to house the powerful in the event of a near-extinction event. She says they're connected by high-speed transit systems, hidden beneath the surface of the United States, powered by advanced energy technologies the public has never been allowed to see. No vote, no announcement, no media coverage, just decades of quiet construction, shielded from public knowledge. If what she's saying is true, then these places already exist. The entrances are in place, the infrastructure is operational, and they aren't meant for everyone. The public was never informed. No explanation has been given. No officials have stepped forward to confirm or deny any part of it. So we have to ask the obvious questions. What do they know? What are they hiding? And what happens to the rest of us when the doors close?
So they coming up with a new prison that allows inmates to serve years of their sentence in just a matter of minutes. So the criminals is gonna have a choice to spend tens of years behind bars, or they can make the choice to get the artificial memory implanted into their brain. So this process is called Cognify. And the intent of it is to treat the criminal like a patient.
There's a new system out there. They're talking about the prison of the future, folks. It's a company called Cognify. Take a look at this video, right? Because you've never seen anything like this. It's a new concept that it rehabilitates artificial memories. But the thing is, I think your actual prison sentence is really short, but they kind of erase your brain. Are you down with that one?
They're gonna try to change the person's brain chemistry. After this process, when they re-enter society, they will be new and reformed, and they won't even be capable of committing any other crime. The chip can make the patient feel empathetic. Depending on the severity of the crime, the chip can also make you feel the emotional and physical pain of the victim and the family members. You can feel what they felt. So the process only takes about 7 minutes. But to the patient, it seemed like it had been years. Last year, the U.S. government spent $8.7 billion taxpayers' dollars on the prison. They say with this new prison, they can save money.
Do you know they've already mRNA injected 100 million wildlife in America? I guarantee you they're doing it to pets too. It's only mRNA technology funded completely by Mark Zuckerberg and his wife's foundation. Only people that knew that the wildlife, deer, for example, elk, for example, were actually being mRNA injected for COVID. It was all the hunters. When I discovered it on Staten Island, Zuckerberg and his wife funded a research study. They went out and gathered up 100 white-tailed deer and then PCR tested them all for COVID and then injected them all with the mRNA vaccines from Pfizer with this company called Zotus, and then went and did 100 million animals. 100 million doses have been administered at that point all throughout the country, and no one knew it, and no one's talked about it.
The next one may make your thunder roll by Toilet Time TV. Is Garth Brooks a serial killer? I mean, he may be jabbing some Fruit Loops with a silver spoon.
The man himself, Garth Brooks,
Somebody has taken all of Garth Brooks's tour dates, and every tour date lines up with a missing person or an unsolved homicide, every place he's ever been. About 120 missing persons and around roughly 90 unsolved homicides. And I am telling you, the man is a monster. He moves to Nashville. He's working at like the Boot Barn. It's like three people that go missing that were in the vicinity of the Boot Barn where he was working while he was trying to be a country music star, right? He ends up getting a record deal. The album comes out. They put him on tour on like state concerts for all the state fairs. He's traveling around the country. Missing person here, you know, unsolved homicide here. Like, I don't know where he was staying. I'm assuming he's sleeping on the bus, which is probably right in the fairgrounds. Mm. So 2 miles away or 4 miles away, some girl ends up disappearing. This goes on and on throughout the years. And here's another thing that's interesting. Garth built this huge house. Like John Wayne Gacy, people are saying that Garth is burying these bodies underneath the house, and that's why they can't be found. But here's what's more interesting. When Garth got his first check, roughly $500,000, he goes and buys 20 or 30 acres of raw land in Goodlettsville. This is just outside of Nashville. Guess what spikes shortly after that purchase? Missing persons reports.
Missing persons reports. Missing. Around that area?
Yeah, of course, in Nashville. That's where he's living.
The man.
The next clip is from John Vasquez.
It just happened. Trump gave the word. Israel moved first, and now everything is collapsing. This isn't just speculation. This isn't saber rattling. This is the final blow. While you were sleeping, the plan snapped into motion. ICE raids across U.S. sanctuary cities, Iranian sleeper cells taken down, lasers, explosives, encrypted networks, real threats neutralized. And behind it all, a court ruling that changed everything. President Trump now has the constitutional firepower to send in the National Guard anywhere, anytime. And he just did. But it's not just over yet, guys, because what just leaked out of Tehran, it proves that they weren't just planning to hit Israel. They were already here. And this is exactly why President Trump's DHS unleashed a nationwide crackdown last night. Antifa-linked operatives, nuclear intel buried in storage units, ICE agents under attack, and finally fighting back. So, guys, you're going to want to see what Israel did next, how Gavin Newsom tried to stop it and ended up getting steamrolled, and what the Ninth Circuit just gave President Trump.
They cut that clip off, not me. Sorry, folks. A lot of my clients and friends are having relationship problems lately, so I'm going to share a couple of clips from Florina Dean Garode.
Why are women often the first to leave relationships?
I think that women are often the first to leave relationships because our communication tends to be a little bit more direct and clear. So we're often the first ones that saying that there's issues and we're giving you a chance to work on it. And we're giving you a chance to work on it. And we're giving you a chance to work on it. So by the time we actually leave, it's like you forced our hand or we had been mentally left because you wasn't doing anything to keep me here. So it might look like she just got up one day and all of a sudden the love is gone because you wasn't paying attention. Y'all don't be listening. What's not clicking, Steven? Like, you gotta pay attention to her mind and her heart gonna leave before her feet every time. That's why it looks like we leave first, but we be in it with y'all trying, fighting for our lives. All my life I had to fight. We be trying, and y'all be sitting there like, I mean, she ain't going nowhere. And then when she goes somewhere, now it look like, yeah, women is the first one to leave. She tried to stay. What did you do to keep her? That'd be the thing.
You also have women. Y'all ready to get mad at me? You also have women who do leave prematurely. You have women who don't have wise counsel. You have women who have abandonment and rejection wounds. You have women who are escape artists. And they practice escapism. You have women who... But you do have women who they're so afraid of rejection that they jump ship first. You have women who have abandonment wounds, and so to avoid feeling any sense of abandonment, they jump ship as soon as they get anxious or as soon as something seems like a threat. When people have trauma, their nervous system now responds to many things like it is a threat. Like anything, this can be a man sighing, a man not texting you back, a man not calling you, a man hanging out with his homeboys couple of hours, and then you decide you want to leave the relationship. Also, the bad thing, especially because I'm a woman, I've done this before, is being around the wrong counsel. You're being around women.
You don't even know who I am.
What do you care if I go?
What are the signs of a damaged man?
I think the most damaged men are not the men that wear masks to fool you.
Yeah.
It's the men that wear masks to fool themselves.
Mm.
It's the men that have worn that mask so long they actually think they're a good guy. They move around like it. They carry the air of it because in their heart they believe they're good. There's certain parts, and I'm not even speaking to me, I'm speaking to myself. There's a point in my life where I was so damaged that I didn't want to see my own self in the mirror. So I created a caricature of a good man, and I pretended to be that. So long that I was able to get a woman to fall in love with me.
Wow.
And I forgot that I was a... I forgot that I was a boy still. I forgot that I still ain't got over my sexual appetite for women. Because here's the thing, everything y'all said, most healthy people will see those signs and avoid them before getting deep into the relationship. But the dangerous men are the ones that you're going to fall in love with that mask because you believed it was truly who they were. And it's only until they get in a relationship and you're cleaning one day inside their heart and you move the rug and you find all the shattered pieces they never healed. And then this is the dangerous part about it. Because I pretended to be a good guy so long, I think you caused the brokenness in me. Because I forgot where it really came from.
Wow.
I forgot where that damage came from. Maybe it was my childhood. Maybe it was other relationships I never healed from. So what I'm saying is, I do believe these outward damage things, most of y'all should know to avoid. But I hope you never get fooled by a... pretended to be a good guy.
Don't be ashamed to cry. Let me see you through. Cause I've seen the dark side too.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at @MaggieHart at outlook.com to get it fixed.
I also threw in some Patti Loveless and the Pretenders for your listening pleasure. The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at All Music, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. Next up, a double shot of Gen X Jono for Gen X time.
Can I think of my childhood in a smell, a scent, an aroma? It would be lemon-scented, pledged, mixed with cigarette smoke. It would be Jiffy Pop popcorn popping on a gas range. It would be the smell of ozone that emanated from the television sets after we turned them off. It would be Polo, Dracar Noir. Wouldn't really smell like Teen Spirit, but maybe Gee, Your Hair Smells Terrific? It would be Obsession, Calvin Klein. High Karate, Old Spice. Miss you, Dad. It would be the smell of Spick and Span. Aquanet Hairspray, Noxzema Cleansing Cream, Seabreeze, Astringent, OxyPads, Jelly Shoes Melting in the Sun, Strawberry Scented Scratch and Sniff Stickers, those Pink Pearl Erasers, Elmer's Glue Drying on Our Hands, Paste, that rubber cement that came with the stopper, freshly opened pack of Topps baseball cards and that gum, the paper after it came off the Ditto or Mimeograph machine. The smell of the pictures after they came out of the Polaroid instant camera. Dude, it's been like 40 years since my nose has actually smelled those smells, and in my mind, I can still smell them. What do you remember? Let me know in the comments.
I think I speak for all millennials when I say, like, we're still waiting to feel like adults.
Hey, Gen X here, Jono, and I got a couple years on you, buddy, and I'm still waiting. I hear someone say, sir, and I'm, like, looking around to see who they're talking to. Spoiler alert, they're talking to me. Young kids keep yelling, unk. Not sure what that means.
Age-wise, physically, yes, we're adults.
Yeah, and then some.
I'm old enough to be excited about purchasing a household appliance, but if that thing breaks, I revert back to being a teenager looking around like, where's the adult that's going to fix this?
All right, so I get the not feeling like adult thing. I am a Toys R Us kid through and through. In my head, half the time, still 15 years old. But here's the thing. Back when Gen X was 15 years old, dude, even then we knew how to fix things. It wasn't by the book. It was more like MacGyver, paper clips, duct tape, chewing gum, book of matches or a lighter. Not to fix anything. We just like playing with fire.
You know, I keep waiting for the checkpoint. Like, one day I'm going to wake up and it's like, okay, I'm an adult now. But I don't think that's coming.
I can only speak for myself and the Gen Xers that I know, and that day thus far has yet to come. Not sure it's gonna. But here's the thing. Gen X, we were more adult at 15 than most generations are at 50. And, to be fair, more kids at 50 than some of them were at 15.
Well, cannolis, that's my show for tonight. I hope you had as much fun as I did bringing this show to you. I hope I gave you some things to think about. And I'm going to send out some prayers and positive energy that people use good discretion and judgment. And that when times get tough, rather than steal from others, they find a way to make their own way. And that those of us that have extra share with those of us that don't. It's a very weird time to be alive, but we have to, I think, try to come together as much as we can, because this is all an elaborate scheme to separate the masses. There are elderly people and families that really need these benefits to survive. We have veterans that go hungry. And while I agree with the one guy in the video earlier who said that he thinks that the government will come up with something at the last minute, it's a scary time and a very anxious and fearful time for those people that don't know where their next meals are coming from. And while I in no way, shape, or form support the people that say they're going to rob, those are the people that are going to find some trouble if they come to certain doorsteps. That shouldn't be a thing. We need to help the people that we can that deserve the help. And those that are unnecessarily and have been unnecessarily milking the system need to be cut off. They need to find their own way. An honest way. Please be mindful as you're out and about and also in your own homes of those people who are elderly and alone or disabled and alone who may not be able to defend themselves should someone try to harm them. And please try and protect the people and the children that need to be protected. Please escort your elderly family members to the store and home and make sure that they're safe and locked in their homes when they get there. Maybe install an inexpensive security camera or get them a guard dog. Invite them to stay with you for a while until things hopefully blow over. Form neighborhood watches. If you happen to be at your local bank or ATM, make note of who's around you. And if there's some elderly people or disabled people in line, hang around a few minutes and just make sure they get safely back into their car. Or walk with them out of the grocery store and get them safely in their car. Help them load their groceries. And also, please gently remind them not to be trusting of strangers. Just because you're doing them a favor doesn't mean that the next guy has the best intentions. Elderly people can tend to be too trusting sometimes. Remind them not to open the door no matter what, unless it's a family member. And be particularly cautious at this time, please, with your children as well. Don't let them walk alone or go out in public without an adult. Remind them if they're home alone to keep the doors locked and not to let anybody else in. Even a tape or a recording on a phone of a dog barking loudly can be enough sometimes to potentially deter someone who wants to get in. We have to remember that just like there are paid protesters by Soros, that there are also people that are paid to make these videos, mouthing off about what they're going to do, and some of it is AI generated. There will be incidents, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as they're predicting, at least not yet. It's always better to be safe, though, rather than sorry, and I would encourage everybody to go and pursue firearms licenses in your state if you're allowed to. Wasp and hornet spray, pepper spray, kitchen knives, whatever you have available to give to your family to help them protect themselves, that would be something that they could viably use. So if it's for an elderly person, make sure that it's something that they are able to legitimately handle. Also, I would encourage women and kids to take self-defense lessons, watch YouTube videos, practice at home. If you have a family member that's been in the service, they'd be able to give you some tips for free. I'm sure they'd be happy to do that. Let's be realistic and optimistic all at the same time. Thanks all for listening. Have a great night. We'll see you next week. And remember, don't succumb to fear or anxiety. Don't let it get to you. Be prepared, but live your life. Make sure that you're practicing breathing, meditation, and prayer to keep you in balance. Good night, everybody. This time for real.